This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia via satellite on the Community Radio Network. Allegro this week is presented by Adam Stobbs and Adam Quayle.
The process of coming out is unique to homosexuals and lesbians.
There is really no other part of society that has to deal with this issue, the magnitude of self-acceptance and disclosure that homosexuals face.
There are a lot of excellent support mechanisms available for people who are gay or lesbian.
Support and counselling is abundant. Information is easily available.
This is not the case for families, though. There are organisations like PFLAG that connect the community in after shock. But often, their support is only sought well after the event.
What is it really like for the families of people who come out as gay?
Today, we're going to find out in particular what it's like for the wives and children.
And welcome to the studio, Glenda. Hi, Glenda.
Hello.
And Lloyd.
G'day.
Okay, now, the reason we've invited Glenda and Lloyd in today is they have a particularly interesting story. And this fits in with our theme that we've been doing on Allegro Non Troppo for the past year. We've been looking at some of the other issues of the coming out process. Not so much at people coming out themselves, but the people that, for want of a better term, are left behind. Glenda and Lloyd, your father, your husband, came out as gay. Okay. Glenda, can you tell us a little bit about him and how you met him, and then we'll go through the process and extrapolate the information, see what it's like. Where did you meet your husband?
On a summer camp in America.
Okay. How long ago?
1981.
Okay. What was it like?
We had a lot in common because the other camp counsellors, so to speak, were American, and there were a few other internationals, but I think the sort of Australian-New Zealand connection, we had a bit more that was in common. So it wasn't love at first sight.
Okay. So you were overseas at the time, and you were in this summer camp. Were you running the camp, or were you?
No, one of the people doing, looking after the children, doing the activities and so on.
Okay. And when you met him, it wasn't love at first sight. You just got to know each other over a period of time.
Yes. So after the summer camp, we exchanged details, and I was sort of at the fairly early stages of my overseas trip, and the last thing I wanted to do was connect with an Australasian. So yes, I had bigger and better things to do. So, but we met up again in Canada, because we were both sort of in a similar place, and did a lot of travel together, really, sort of. And then I ended up in Melbourne and never left, so.
Okay, where were you from?
Dunedin, New Zealand.
And so you were over there, so you met him. So how long had you been seeing him before you got married?
Well, we worked out 13 weeks together overseas, but that was very close, camping and travelling. And then I went through Africa and he came to Melbourne, and then it was quite lovely travelling 5 months through Africa. We wrote letters, and that was, you know, I'd sort of started to fall in love with him, and so it was very romantic, the sort of, every time I got to a poste restante in some foreign, you know, land, there was always a letter waiting. So I remember then I went to South Africa, which was actually where I was originally from, and couldn't wait to get to Melbourne to be with Mick.
The reason I'm asking these questions about the personal way that you started this relationship is just to get a little bit of an insight of the process of how it happens, and then we'll look at the evolutionary aspect of it. So when did you decide to get married? What happened? Who?
Well, that was funny too. We had been living together, and then there was a sense that he needed to sort of discover himself way back then, without it ever really being fully touched on that he was possibly gay. But I'd sort of said, well, you need to find yourself. So I moved away, lived apart, in that time I didn't like this. I was teaching and I was having a pretty tough time. So I actually resigned from my job for the end of the year and bought a one-way ticket to New Zealand, and I told him that I was going. And then he asked me to marry him a little while later after that.
So you were saying that you felt that he needed some time alone for some self of purpose of discovery. Did you have... Yes. Did it enter your mind that he might have been gay then?
Looking back, probably.
Okay.
Yep. So I suppose I blame a bit of naivety, and we both wanted the same things. We both wanted children badly, and I sort of figured, well, he's sort of tested the waters and decided that it wasn't for him at that time. Yeah.
Okay. How did you feel about that? At the time,
I suppose it took me a week to give him an answer. I can remember that, thinking, okay, well, you know, I had made the decision that the friends that I'd made here were primarily through him, so I thought for us to part, I needed to go back to, you know, my roots, so to speak. And
so you bought the ticket to go back to New Zealand, one way ticket, and then he asked you to marry him, and then
he had to follow me.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. We got married in New Zealand. Yep. So okay, you know, we were committed.
Okay. Mm. It's quite romantic in a way, isn't it? Well, to think that he followed you to New Zealand.
That's goodness right. Gracious. Well, I said the one-way ticket was non-negotiable, really. So
Let me tell you, this doesn't sound very... It doesn't sound typical of gay men, because I certainly wouldn't follow anybody anywhere to marry me. So you got married in New Zealand, and then what did you do after that?
We fairly quickly started a family. Connor, he's 22, and we had... And Lloyd's my youngest of three.
Okay. So you have three children?
Yes.
And you have Lloyd in with studio with you today. G'day, Lloyd.
G'day, how's it going?
It's good. Now, we'll get to Lloyd's story in a moment, because I just want to go through a couple of other of the historical and just put this in the position so we understand where it all happened. So you got married in New Zealand.
Yes.
And then did you move back to Melbourne?
When I was pregnant with Claire, so 20 years ago.
Okay, so you have three children, and the girl is the oldest one?
No, the boy.
The boy, okay. This might be slightly... why did you get married?
I guess I wanted to.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes people get married and think, oh, it seemed like a good idea at the time, or not really sure, but yeah, you wanted to get married and you were in love.
Yes.
Okay. And then you moved to Australia. Okay, to Melbourne?
Yes.
Okay, and you've been here ever since?
Yes.
Okay, so you set up your life in Melbourne and here you are. Tell us a little bit about what your life was like when you got married and you moved to Melbourne.
I think it seemed pretty much like everyone else's at the time when you've got young children, and I tended to bury myself in motherhood and became a very over-functioning mother. So in a way, you know, when... I suppose we lived like any normal married couple for a lot of years, really. Well, that's what I thought.
When did you notice anything different?
Well, when it eventually became obvious, which was... Well, that was a story, and I can be pretty good at denial.
Okay.
And it was only when I actually read something that was written, I knew that I couldn't live in denial any longer. So
things had been going on.
Well,
that had made you suspicious, or things had been going on that you'd noticed, but then you didn't acknowledge inside yourself. Can you give us a sort of an idea what sort of things did you notice? If it's not too personal,
I think I always felt that there was a lack of desire. I didn't feel, and you know, that sort of was always there. And I know there are two movies that I really identify with, and that's Far From Heaven, the woman in there.
It's an incredible film.
Yep. That really, really, because they were like this happy...
That's right.
...family. And I felt like we are still very good friends. And that, you know, that I think that's probably a lot better than a lot of friends of mine who were married to heterosexual men. So, you know, there is a strong bond, and genuinely you know, we do, we like each other as people. So
is that film Far From Heaven something that you've seen since?
I've watched it.
This, and yep. It's something that you can really relate to.
Absolutely. But the other movie I related very much to was in Lantana.
Oh, yeah, that was the Aussie movie.
Yes.
With the psychologist and the...
Yes. Yeah. And I related to... who's the one? Kerry Armstrong, when yeah. she was dancing with Anthony LaPaglia and he was having an affair with someone. Oh, yeah. And there was no infidelity on either part during the marriage, so that made it much easier. You know, there wasn't a bitterness, but I could sort of feel, I felt like her, where, you know, she genuinely, you know, they loved each other, but he, you know, there was just something missing.
Can I just throw a spanner into this with a little bit of self-disclosure from one of the things? For years, I was a counsellor on the telephone counselling service in the early 80s called Gayline.
Right.
And the two most prominent calls that we had, most of the calls we got were hoax calls, people ringing up trying to pretend we were gay so they could make fun of the poofters.
Right.
But the second one type of call I used to get a lot was from married women whose husbands hadn't been interested physically in them for some time and they thought their husbands were gay. It was amazing the number of calls that we got.
Mm.
I think that men sometime, this is a broad generalisation, I'll probably be nailed to the cross for this, but I think men lose sexual interest in their 40s. I just right across the board, heterosexual men anyway. And I think women are probably not like that. I think women are probably more interested in that side of life, far more than men, but men seem to lose it. But there is an instance when it changes, and that's when that there becomes this, they change their sexuality. So you had some suspicions that something wasn't right. And what was there a turning point or an event or something that triggered this off in your mind, Glenda?
No, as I say, I could no longer pretend that there wasn't this okay. possibility when I saw. Just it was, I didn't see this... he was writing a journal, but I didn't see it as a private diary. It was sort of left around everywhere, and I think in a way he wanted me to read. You know, the first page was talking about feelings for another male.
So he'd left. You feel as though he'd left it around for you to read?
I think so.
Because he didn't want to tell you face-to-face. So
yeah.
I think it's probably about the best way to do it, isn't it, really? Mm. How did you feel?
Well, I knew that this was the turning point and, you know, I knew we had to move on. And I actually originally got counselling for myself and sort of kept it secret but knew it would have to come to a head. And, you know, so I said, well, if you tell me that this is, you know, that you are gay or whatever, then we can't stay married. And I knew then that because he definitely wasn't going to deny it at that stage. But, you know...
What did the counsellor say?
Well, I had worked with her before and she had met both of us and Lloyd. And we had had previous counselling when my daughter was about 2 years of age because there was a little bit of a crisis then. But, you know, we worked through it. And she sort of said that it could well be that he may be on a level, but she was happy to work with him. But that wasn't an option.
You've just identified something as a bit of a side issue. I'd just like to point out that getting counselling at any time during in one's life, in relationships or anything, is a really good idea.
Mm.
Counselling is something that is so undervalued in our communities, and it's a really important way for people to connect. I've had counselling at various times through my life. I've actively gone out and sought it, particularly when I've got something that I don't really know what I'm doing or how to deal with it.
Mm.
Frequently, just by talking to somebody else objectively who doesn't know me about it, prioritises the issues in my own mind. And it helps me deal with life a lot easier. So having counselling was probably a really good idea, as long as the counsellor knew and was giving you good advice.
Mm. Well, we pretty much at that stage, it wasn't counselling to stay together, it was how to do it with the children.
Okay, so did you have a conversation with your husband? Was there a particular conversation when you said to him, I know, or you're gay, or did it just sort of, was it understood?
I think a lot of it was understood, really. You know, he'd been honest. When I came to Melbourne after the travelling together, he did confess that he'd had, you know, inclinations, I suppose you would call it. But I did feel the commitment towards me. So, I figured, oh, well, he's explored it, doesn't like the promiscuity. So,
Was he seeing other men while he was...
No.
No, he wasn't?
No.
It's quite amazing, because the number of married men that go out and find other men yet and don't tell their wives, and that's remarkable, actually. I have to say, he sounds like a pretty amazing person. Mm.
That's why we're still friends.
Oh, yeah. Good on you. Mm. So you've got your husband, then you come to this crux where you say he's gay. How old was Lloyd at this time?
7.
Yeah, 7.
What did you understand at 7? Because, I mean, it's quite a while ago. How old are you now, 16?
Yeah, 16.
Okay, so when you were 7, what did you think was going on?
I didn't really have much of an idea about really what to think, because, like, not necessarily the way I was brought up, but the way, like, I sort of, I don't know, like, the way me and my friends would always talk about it, and, it was really weird. Like, I didn't really know what to think at all, because, you know, like, gay, you know, the word in itself was used as an insult, and, you know, when he said he was gay, I was like, well, how do we fix it? You know, like, I didn't know. I was really upset.
But did you know what it meant?
I knew what it meant, yeah. I had an older brother, and he, I don't know, we always, like, he would always sort of let me in on the...
Whatever. Tell me what it was all about.
Yeah. And he had sort of seen it as a negative thing as well.
Okay. So, were you confused, angry, or scared, or...?
I was pretty angry and scared. I have to say, I didn't really... Like, I was really concerned for Mum. I was really, like... I was worried, and I didn't know where he was going to go, if he was still going to live. I thought Mum was initially going to leave. And I was really upset about that, because I thought it was, like, up to us as the kids to decide which parent stayed and which parent left.
Okay. How was your older brother with all of this, without trying to dob him into too much?
Well, he was, I think he was pretty upset as well. In my understanding, though, he knew he had an idea what was going on before my dad publicly told, okay. But when he came out. I think he knew, because we went on a camping trip, and Mum and Dad were fighting a bit, and I think my brother, he was sort of old enough to know what was going on, whereas I was only 7.
Okay.
Did you have a good relationship with both your parents before all this sort of
grew up? Yeah, of course. So still do.
Yeah. So it must have come as a bit of a, you know, you must have felt a little bit like things could get a bit unstable.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what, we're coming to the end of the first half hour of the show, but the thing that I've picked up from all of this, despite all of this being a bit of a crisis, I don't get this feeling of anger and desperation or anything that came across. It sounds as though you actually all handled this really well. Would that be a correct assumption, Glenda? Do you think?
I think so. Look, it has been 9 years, so it is a little bit hard to remember. I think you have to move on. And, I feel proud of the way we've done it.
Okay. We're going to have, when we come back in a moment, we're going to actually look at the process of what you did and how you handled it and what happened over the next couple of years, because that's really the crucial time, and also how family, friends and the children dealt with all of this. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo with Adam and Adam, our special guests, Glenda and Lloyd, and we're talking about the fact that their father, husband, turned out to be gay, here on Allegro Non Troppo across Australia and the Community Radio Network. Today we're talking to Glenda and Lloyd about their situation when their father, husband came out as being gay. It's a difficult issue, Glenda, to deal with. This happened to you 9 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, so you've had some time to reflect and go over the past. And tell us now, you had counselling, and the counsellor sort of brought all of the issues to a head for you, is that right?
No, I think the issues were already at, you know, Christ. It was literally, it wasn't to try and save the marriage because that wasn't what either of us wanted.
But how did you come to that realisation that, you know, the marriage was over and that...
Well, I didn't see how it was possible to remain as a married... I mean, we were doing it on the surface very well, but I didn't think it was going to service my needs as, you know, a heterosexual person, because there wasn't any... I'm not interested in, or wasn't interested, or never have been interested in affairs or anything like that. Mm. So
the initial emotions that you were going through when this realisation really hit you, did you feel... angry or betrayed, or did you feel some sort of compassion for your husband that of the pain that he might have been going through as well, or were you more?
I know there were. It was pretty bad at the time, you know, because of what it means about a marriage breaking up, and I do remember vividly one close friend. Like, I had a lot of female friends, and I got a lot of support outside. And that had been going on for months. As it happened, I mean, it's Lloyd had a hip disease at the time that all this the crisis came to a head. He was needing surgery, and in a way, it turned out to be the best thing that happened, because we took time. So literally after the revelation, I guess, me reading the stuff and realizing that we had to deal with it. Lloyd had to wait till, so that was about the October, and in the late January he had an operation, and we didn't want him at all to feel as though him being sick was anything to do with us breaking up. So we stayed together from the knowledge, which was in about October, we stayed together till late April.
Was that difficult?
It was. That was the worst. We were absolutely together with Lloyd, and he's since had thyroid cancer. And the one thing I thought that was very good practice for this, because we are absolutely a team, and I'm, you know, I think I'm very proud of our parenting since. In fact, I think if anything, it's the kids have benefited more because we're a bit happier in ourselves, or a lot happier.
That's amazing. Mm. Glenda, that is such a positive story. Mm. I'm so impressed. Well done. That is a great example to all of us, that sometimes we have to make a commitment beyond our own needs and our obligation to those around us. It's a very difficult balancing thing. When does the obligation to yourself outweigh the obligation to the people that you love? This is a good example of how you were able to articulate this in a very parental and a very good way. Mm. Can I just tell you a little bit about myself in these experiences? I had a long-term partner for 12 years, and we met in 1982, 83. And we'd been together about 7 months, but he would only see me one night a week. Okay, he said, Thursday nights is our night, so I'll see you one night a week. And then it became two nights a week. He said, I can see you on two nights a week. I said, okay, you know. And I didn't ask any questions, because I thought he's just come out and he's just dealing with this and he doesn't want to be. And I said, you know, where do you live? What do you do? He says, my family life's pretty personal. He says, I live with my mum and dad. It turned out, after a while, we ended up living together, and we got together and we became a couple. But I have found out not long after we'd been together, he was actually married when I'd met him. And he had to make the choice about 5 months after meeting me, whether he was going to spend the rest of the life with me or his family. And he had three young children, the oldest was 10, and he left his wife and his children to be with me. He died in 1995, unfortunately, but the thing that happened is, and I don't blame them in one bit, his family, all of his family, particularly the children, hate me with the absolute most bitter hatred, because I took their father away. You know, and I understand. I wish they didn't. I'd love to tell them all about their father, the things about their father they never knew, how wonderful he was, how much I could have wrung his neck at times, but those particular things. So I sort of understand now. This was different for you because your husband didn't go off seeing other men. He stayed committed to the relationship, to the vows that he'd taken with you. And he stayed for the sake, not just for you, but for the children as well. And that's quite an amazing thing, the the fact that he would do that out of love. So after this, and Lloyd was recovering from his operation, what happened next? Tell us what the next process was.
I remember our last weekend together, before announcing it to the children, we were at the Canberra Folk Music Festival, and that was so stressful. I mean, it was fantastic on one level, but it because it was building up and, you know, the crunch day was coming, and I still remember vividly the day we told the kids after a lacrosse game and, you know, really nervous. So initially, well, that was interesting too, because Connor, as Lloyd said, Connor had a bit of a hunch. We had started in that, you know, the sort of from about January to April, leading more separate lives. Like that, Mick then did go out and, you know, he, Gamma, you know.
Yeah, Gamma. Yeah. Gay and Married Men's Association.
Yes, that's right. I didn't know what it stood for, but, you know. Anyway, so he started connecting with supports, and I certainly had my friends. And so it was more, instead of doing everything together, he might have nights out. And I do remember, we told the kids on a Saturday lunchtime.
While you were away?
We came back and the following weekend just said that we were...
What did you tell us about
well,
that?
Well, we didn't tell anything about, just said that we weren't going to, that we were going to separate. And Connor, the eldest, his attitude, he got the pen and paper and said, oh, well, let's divide, you know, what do we have? We've got this, and this, Dad can have this. And, you know, very practically, didn't sort of deal with the emotions. But then he said during that following week, oh, I might live with Dad. And I just said, you might want some more information. And I said, oh, your dad needs to talk to you about that. And it didn't turn out that way quite. I remember the Friday night Mick was going out, and it was a cold night. We had the fire going. And he said to me, oh, he knew there was a big drama because we were going to be telling his parents, and we were going to tell them everything, and they're good, very good, strong Catholics. And he knew that this was a huge issue. So Mick was came home late that night, but was going out again. And I remember him sitting there just ticking over, and he said, what's this huge thing? Why do you know, what's this information that I need to know? And he just worked it out. He said, well, you know, what is it that the Catholics really don't, you know, why is it such a big deal for the grandparents, blah blah blah. And then at the dinner table before Mick came home, he pretty much
worked it out.
But the other kids were sort of around, so we were a little bit cryptic. And then I must admit, he was quite, don't think he knew how to handle Mick when he came home that night. But well, it ended up being one of the most beautiful nights I had with him. I had planned that it was definitely Mick's job to talk to him about it, but you know, we waited for the other two to go to sleep that night, and fire glowing, and then, you know, we cried together and talked, and it was absolutely fantastic. And he, most certainly, like Lloyd, he just said he couldn't. He was so adult. He was 13, and he said, "How could it have happened? How could, you know? How do you feel?" Like, he was so. Well, just had adult.
Glenda, this reflects on you as a parent. You've done a great job bringing them up if they had this sort of attitude. Lloyd, how did you, when you first found out, you said that you didn't, did you understand what it meant?
I had a pretty a clearish understanding, like as clear as a 7-year-old's understanding of gay can get.
As you were growing up, though, over the years, and when your mum and dad separated, how did you feel towards your dad?
What do you mean? Like,
were you angry at any stage? Did you feel?
Not really. I think, like, when he told me, I was pretty angry, but I didn't really have a full understanding of what it meant. But I was mainly just upset that I wasn't going to be living with both my parents anymore.
Okay. Now that you're 16 and it's some time later since this happened, how do you feel about it now?
I feel fine. It's just, it's another it's just another part of my life, and I don't think it's affected me negatively in any way whatsoever. Okay. And I live with my dad half-time and mum half-time, and I have a great relationship with both my parents, and it's all right.
Glenda, when you decided that you couldn't stay together as married people anymore, did you move out?
Yes.
How long?
I think pretty much straight away. We'd sort of planned it.
Okay. So he told his parents and the kids on the same night, yeah?
No, we told the kids on one weekend and planned it to tell the parents the following weekend. And then it was another week. As I say, Connor worked it out within the week, and he then said we had to tell the other two. So a week later we told
the other two. Tell us about the... were you there when he told his parents?
Yes.
Because that's quite unusual to think that he came out with his sexuality to his parents with his wife there at the same time. I've never heard of that before.
And his brother as support.
Did his brother know?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about if it's not too personal, what that evening was like? Was it an evening?
It was a daytime, actually.
Daytime, yeah. How did you feel?
Well, I thought that I did need to be there. Well, the funny thing that I remember now that I'm just flashing back, I remember when we said, right, we're separating, I remember his mother looking straight at me as if to say, it's all your fault. Something that I think is worth noting, the one thing over time, initially I loved it. That's the wrong word. I felt as though I was completely off the hook when people said, well, why is your marriage broken up? Because I could say, oh, well,
he's gay.
And now that I look back, I would probably say, the gay aside, relationships break down. And I think it must have been hard, really hard for Mick, to sort of feel like the heel, that he's the
responsible. He has caused this, the self-blame, the internalisation of perhaps some homophobia about this issue.
That's right.
Well, I don't think homophobia is quite right.
He had a lot to deal with, telling the parents.
But you know what, Glenda? What I'm getting from this conversation is very lucky, because he had some really positive support. And even though there was some friction in the relationship, did you get angry with him at any stage?
I was resentful, I think, really more. That's the biggest feeling for a long time.
How did this manifest? In what ways were you resentful?
Wanted more sex.
Okay. Did you argue with him at all?
No, not enough, probably. Probably, didn't really address things.
Was that an issue that you confronted at all, or was it something that you kind of just put up with?
Put up with. I think I must have had a group of heterosexual friends who also, because young children, you're sort of, the libido goes and so on. So I used to ask people, how's your sex life? Came to the conclusion that I was on the norm, But no, over time, there's only so much you can put up with.
Lloyd, when you find out that your dad was gay, did he tell you?
It was a post dinner discussion, was it? Something like that. We'd just eaten dinner or maybe lunch or something, and we were all at the table. And I don't really remember, it was a very long time ago, but I think it was him that told me. He sort of looked at me and just said, well, I'm gay, do you know what that means? And I was just, what? Gay?
Because your mum was saying that there was a scene when you walked around him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I walked around him and I was going, this couldn't be right, you're not gay, you're married to my mum, who is a woman. And then I said, well, hang on a second, who are you gay with? And none of it really made sense.
And what did he answer? Who was he gay with? Nobody.
Nobody, no.
So he knew he was, but he'd actually never done anything about it. This is really interesting, because it's so untypical of how gay men usually come to identify their sexuality. It's usually a physical act that brings it about. So he's actually thought about it. He's Sounds like quite a remarkable man, actually, Glenda. I can see... I have never met him. I have no idea what he's like, but I can sort of see why you married him.
Yeah, that's right. And that's
he's
what
got
I,
very high... Yeah. He's got very, very set principles, very considerate principles.
That's it.
And so your dad came out, Lloyd.
Yeah.
How were you... Were you at school at the time?
Yep, I would have been doing grade two or something.
Okay. Who did you tell? Did you tell anybody?
Yeah, I think I told all my friends. I think I didn't really see it as anything to hide. And, I don't know, some of my friends' parents were just like, oh, so, you know, does he have a partner? How's he going? And others were like, oh, you know, he's gay. And it was sort of, there's still sort of that factor going about, but, like, everyone's sort of supportive of it. And, like, I have friends over to his place all the time and there's paintings of naked men and stuff, but you know, like, everyone's cool with it. And I've got like three other friends with gay parents and like in a pretty similar situation to me, and I don't know, we've also got that in common as well, and I think that's something in itself.
Okay, this is quite an interesting story. It's you didn't have any hard times at school? Nobody...
Not really. No one ever, like, said, oh, like, ha-ha, your dad's a poofter or anything. It wasn't anything like that.
Or they didn't try to say that you're a poofter.
Nah, never got near that.
Well, because it's quite interesting just looking at my own life and the parallels of my own life. I can identify quite a lot of all of this. It's a interesting situation. But one, as I was saying before, that doesn't get aired quite a bit. So here you will, let's just do a little stock take of where we are at the moment in this process. So you're still living, he's just moved out. Everybody knows that he's gay, okay? You've told family, you've told friends, and the immediate family all know he's moved out. What happened, this was about 9 years ago?
2000. Yep.
Okay. What happened next? So you started living separate lives?
Yes. He moved on faster than I did.
Did you have people for support? I mean, did you have a lot of friends?
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Mm.
What sort of support did they give you? And did you get any institutionalised support? Like, was there any... So, no PFLAG, nothing for...
No. I don't think I wanted it. Like, I don't think I wanted to identify with that particular... You know, I just thought, well, it's a huge thing to break up anyway. So, I suppose... It just was freeing for both of us, I think. Like, certainly Mick, he needed those supports like Gamma, and he's now offering, like, I think he loves offering support to other people. I did have one close friend who said to me, can't you stay together? And I thought, whoa, she's got no idea, you know, what she's saying, thinking that I could keep the marriage together for this, you know.
It's interesting because we interviewed Kathy and Jane some time ago, and Jane is transsexual, transitioned from male to female, but they're still together. But I think that they still have, I'm just assuming here, and I don't wish to make any judgment call here, but I think they still have a monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. That would not be possible in your situation if your husband's gay. To express and understand and identify with his sexuality, he needs to meet other people.
Yes.
And that's probably, and you accepted that fairly. Did he meet somebody else?
People? Yes, he's got a fantastic network of friends, and you know, I meet them often because we always have Christmas do's and other functions, and I enjoy them, actually. I wish some of them were straight.
Really?
Yes, I do.
What about you, Lloyd, with your dad's lifestyle? You say that you live with him part-time and it's completely not an issue that he's gay for you at all?
Not at all. It's I don't know, sometimes I think it's... I mean, I like it. It's funny just seeing him, you know, in the car or whatever and saying, no, he's cute. And then, you know, sometimes my sister will be like, yeah. And then I'll just be like, just sort of sitting in the car, just idle, just, okay. And, you know, he's always like...
It doesn't make his sexuality a huge issue for you. It doesn't sort of like force you to acknowledge or accept it. It's just there.
Not really. Like, he's... One thing which I've always found pretty funny is he's always sort of pretty willing to go clothes shopping, like,
okay,
if all else, you know, like, and he's always let me stay up if I was going to do art or draw.
Okay.
Whereas it's a bit different at Mum's house.
Okay, so he's fitting into some of the stereotypes, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How would you say your relationship is now with your father? Is it good?
I think it's really good, especially since I started living with him more, because mm-hmm. I was seeing him, would have been every second weekend and then one day every week during the week.
So why did you want to spend more time with him?
I don't know. I think I just...
wanted to be part of his life and get to know him a bit more, perhaps.
Yeah, I wanted to get to know him a bit more, I think. That was a big one. And I think I know him really well now. Like, and okay. I'm really glad that I made the decision.
Glenda, what about the other children? Do they have the same mindset? I mean, that's quite amazing, Lloyd. And thank you for sharing that with us. It's quite... the other children have the same mindset?
Well, I was just about to say, Connor, at about 15, so about 2 years afterwards, did exactly the same thing and said he wanted to live part-time or more with his dad, and so he did, and embraced it as well. Not so my daughter, who's quite shy, and so I think Mick found it harder. He's got a very good relationship now, but it took a lot of years of work there, I think.
Glenda, your three children have an amazing value system. Where did they get that from?
I think both of us.
Yeah. You and your husband have instilled in your children an extremely articulate and respectful value system. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about your husband yet.
Oh.
Was there ever a time when you felt really angry or you really resentful about the...
Probably at... you know, initially, for sure, I'd have to be lying if I said that it was plain sailing.
Did you ever feel as though he married you under false pretenses?
That did cross my mind.
Yeah. Mm. But what do you think now?
Well, I think we've got three beautiful children and, you know, I'm not one for regrets in anything, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I live my life, you know, thinking, well, would I regret this? And, you know, if I'd married someone else, I just honestly have thought many a time that it was easier leaving someone who was gay, because I never had this feeling of, well, you know, he's gone off with a woman. So it didn't sort of affect me as a how I felt about being a woman.
Do you think it was easier?
I do.
Because he was gay? If he'd gone off with another woman?
I think I would have been extremely
that's interesting.
Worrying, thinking about where, you know, I knew I could not change the fact that he was gay, so I thought, well, there's no point in fighting
it. I cannot understand it would have been more damaging to your self-worth and how you felt about yourself.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's reasonable, isn't it? I'd never thought about that. I wonder if this is common across across all of the people who change their sexuality in their relationships, if their spouses actually sort of think, well, I'm glad that they went for somebody of the same sex, because if they'd gone for somebody of the opposite sex, they'd feel inadequate in themselves. But I don't know. It's just an interesting situation. So where are you now? Where are your lives at now? Have you got anybody else in your life?
No.
Okay. Would you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I do feel as though time is ticking away, and I suppose that's one, the only regret is that I probably didn't come to the realisation a little bit sooner, moving on and getting on in age. But, you know, look, I love being in charge of my own life.
Okay.
That's the positives.
And your three kids are okay with this and it's all working out fairly positively?
I think, well, I must say, just thinking about that, another thing I did feel in the early years was, because the kids, you know, the kids were still my main concern, I did feel mindful that while Mick was having relationships, you know, one very long term, live-in one, I thought I needed to be the responsible parent who was sort of prioritising them. But that's just one of those silly things that women do for their children. So, yeah, I sort of thought, I've got to be responsible, you know.
So he had a long-term relationship. How did you guys, you and Lloyd, relate with his partner? What was that like?
Well, you know how you said that those kids didn't like you.
Yeah.
That is so common for any sort of step.
Yes.
Person, yeah. Isn't it? Oh, they have a few stories there.
Yep.
So he was sensitive.
Okay. So there was some friction or was some unease in that situation.
Yeah, you could say that.
Did it ever resolve or did it never get resolved? It hasn't in my situation.
It wasn't really resolved, and it sort of ended before anything really did get resolved. Mm. But I don't know if it actually would have if they stayed together.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's been and gone. So has he got anybody else now?
I think still just sort of looking for the right one.
Do you communicate with your dad? Does he tell you what he's up to, who he's seeing and doing stuff like that? Is he fairly open about the whole thing?
Yeah, he is. He sort of, he always tells me what he's doing and where he's going, and we always have a conversation because I've got a girlfriend. I talk about her, he talks about if he's going out on a date in the next day, and we wish each other luck and whatnot.
And you're all okay with that? That's quite amazing. It's a really positive, good story, and I'd like to thank you a lot for sharing it, Glenda. In this situation, there are probably a lot of people listening out across Australia who are facing, may face, or have faced the same situation. Is there anything, a message you could give to anybody from your experience? What would you say the best thing is to do?
I'd say get on with it. Do something sooner rather than later and be honest. Just there is life out there afterwards.
And Lloyd, for all the kids who end up having a parent, a mother or father who turns out to be gay, you've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a message of advice you can perhaps give them from your experience?
Well, I don't know. I guess just make the most of it and, you're not going to be able to change it, so...
Accept.
Just accept it and it'll be fine and you'll have a great relationship.
I'd like to say very special thank you, Glenda. Thank you very much for coming on to Allegro Non Troppo. I realise this has been an intensely personal thing for you, but I'd just like to say thank you. There's a lot of people who will benefit from this, and the same for you, Lloyd. Thank you for coming on to Allegro Non Troppo and the Community Radio Network and sharing this story with us. It's an important story and one that probably really needs to be heard over and over again. For people out in the community, if you'd like more information, you can go to the Allegro website. That's allegro.org.au, and you'll find a hyperlink to PFLAG Australia. There are PFLAG chapters all around Australia, and they will be able to give you some advice. Adam, it's been terrific presenting Allegro Non Troppo with you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me in.
Okay, we'll be back next week. We're hoping next week we're going to be able to do the National Sorry Day for Indigenous Australians. This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network from radio station 3JOY in Melbourne.